And we'll get to our final hymn prior to the message tonight, because we have a prayer meeting to follow. Let's go to 259. 259, something we need daily, reviving. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Let's stand. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, and the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory, revive us again. Revive me, O God, for thy Spirit of light, who has shown us a Savior and scattered our night. Amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again on the fourth. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with the fire from above. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, and the glory. Revive us again. Oh, amen. Please be seated, church. Great singing tonight. And Brother Steve was saying to me on the way to church, and I picked up Steve, and he was saying how revived he is. You know, the Wednesday night service, he loves the Wednesday night service, because the way he put it, he said, I get spiritually recharged, you know. And that's that reviving that the Lord gives us midweek. And in reality, we need that every day. Yes. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles tonight. We'll get right to our study in the book of Galatians, of course. Galatians, we're in chapter 4, moving right along through the book. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 16 through 20 of chapter 4. How many verses is that, somebody? 16 through 20? Wow. Wrong! I get them every time on this. Always count the bookends when you're counting scripture. Tonight's message I've entitled, Friends Tell the Truth. Amen? Friends tell the truth. And I'm so glad that Paul always told the truth. Look with me in Galatians chapter 4, remain seated, and look with me at verse 16. Paul writes, Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. And Lord, how we thank you for the heart of the Apostle Paul as a good minister of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, he was burdened in soul and in heart and in spirit for the believers at Galatia. Because of the false Judaizers, the false teachers coming in and confounding them and confusing them doctrinally, his heart was breaking, wanting them to abide in the truth of the grace of God and not to be entangled with bondage of false teachings. And Father, today, 2,000 years later, the world is even worse than it was in Paul's day. There's more defection from the faith today than ever. There's more false doctrine, more cults and the occult and all evil teachings and false religions in the world today. But there's only one truth. There's only one truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you for the Apostle Paul standing up for that truth and not compromising that truth. Bless your word tonight in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 16, Paul says, friends always tell the truth. Now, Paul, having exposed the false teachings of the Judaizers and having reproved the Galatian Christians for embracing them, now begins to reveal to them who their real enemy was and who their real friend was. He begins this section with a question. Verse 16. He says, does telling the truth make you an enemy? Does telling the truth make you an enemy? Or as Paul puts it in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, in verse 15, remember last week? They were willing to give Paul their own eyeballs because he brought them the gospel. I mean, they would do anything for Paul at one time. But now, he asks them, am I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth concerning these false teachers from Jerusalem? Now, he's saying that you need to abide in the grace of God and not add to it. Okay? He's saying, these false teachers are your real enemy because they are lying to you. Do you know why we have so many mega churches today? It's because people like to be lied to. Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
People like to be lied to. People like to be told, hey, if you just come to our church on Sunday morning, you can live the rest of the week any old way. You can drink, you can smoke, you can do drugs. I mean, you can fornicate, and everything will be just fine in the end because you come to church on Sunday. No, it won't. That is a lie, and people love to hear that kind of lie. Why are some of these churches so full? Because those people are being lied to, and they like it. They like it. Your best friend is the one who will tell you the truth, even though it might hurt. Amen? I need to be told the truth, and I get it every day from this book. It's a mirror. When I look into this, I see myself, what's wrong with me, and I need to repent. Amen? Oh, I'm so glad for the truth and those who tell it. Go with me to chapter 5, Galatians 5. Look at verse 7. Paul says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The truth. Listen, folks, let me make a statement here. The truth, which is the Word of God, and the Son of God, and the Spirit of God, not only needs to be known, but it needs to be obeyed. It's not going to profit anybody if they don't obey it. Amen? Now, look at verse 9. Verse 8. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 9 is critical, because leaven in the Bible represents what? False doctrine, always. And he's saying a little bit of false doctrine is going to mess you up completely. So pretty soon that little lie of the devil will creep in and spread and magnify and it'll infect the whole lump. And you'll be full of false doctrine, you know, like the Mormons, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. I could go on and on and on. But how about the Christian churches that are full of false doctrine? Whoa, we better move on here. Secondly tonight, back in chapter 4. Observe the true intent of these Judaizers. What is their true intent? Look with me at verse 17. Paul says, they, the false teachers, zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. What is Paul saying here? Listen carefully. Four things we find in verse 17, beloved. First of all, he's saying that these false teachers use affection, that's with an A, to gain their prey. Look at it. They zealously, what? Affect you. Not effect with an E, that's affect with an A. That's talking about affection. Folks, you've got to rightly understand this verse. You know how the JWs are so popular and successful worldwide? I'll tell you how. They love folks to their kingdom halls. Hear what I said? They come to your own living room. They sit down with you. They give you a New World Translation. Oh, they sell it to you. And they love on you. They affect you. They're affectionate towards you. And guess what? It works. Just look at the numbers of the JWs today. It works. 30-something million believers? Wow! They don't even have the truth. You know what they have? Love and affection for the people, for their false doctrine. Folks, this is serious. Paul says they zealous, and they're zealous, man. JWs, they put us to shame. Can I tell you about Jehovah? Can I tell you about the Father? Nothing about the Son. They don't believe in the Son. But what I'm saying is, these people zealously affect multitudes of people. Sarah.
I listened to the Mormons when they came around.
Oh, yeah. Them too.
At one time, I did join the church.
Mm.
But then I heard that when they have their conferences, they go down the cellar and they pray the dead into heaven.
Yep. They believe in that. That they baptize for the dead.
And then when they came around again, they gave me the Bible and said, read this and ask God to show you the truth.
Hmm.
So I took them at their word.
Hmm.
I read it and I asked God, show me the truth.
Hmm.
I stayed with my King James Bible.
Amen. Amen.
So now when they come around, I say, I'll tell you what you told me. Read the book and ask God to show you the truth, and he will.
Amen. Amen. Not the Book of Mormons, the King James Bible. Carol.
Don't they believe, too, that the more children they have, it frees up souls?
Yeah, that's why you'll find Mormon families. They have, and of course, then they have the polygamists, where one guy will have, you know, 30, 40, 50 children. And they all, you know, collect welfare, for more welfare for each kid. It's a cult. Yeah. Mormonism's a cult. And the Lord, she said, Lord, you show me the truth about these Mormon people. And he did. Yeah. And so I realized, all I need is the King James Bible. I don't need the Book of Mormons, I don't need Joseph Smith, and I don't need the Mormon cult. So this is what these guys here, in verse 17, they're affecting, showing affection for the Galatian true believers. Why? Why? Look at it. They're doing it, secondly, the actual intent of this affection, he says, they affect you, but not well. They're affecting them, they're showing affection toward them, but not for righteousness' sake, not well, but for evil, to draw them into their false teachings. Okay? They're affecting them for evil purposes, that is to deceive them with their deception. Thirdly, in verse 17, note the result of their zealous affection. They would exclude you. What? What's that mean? They would exclude you? From who? Question. Who would they exclude these believers from? Think, church. Who do the JWs want to exclude you from?
The Lord. The Christ.
The true what?
Jesus.
The true what?
The true Savior.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the fellowship of those who believe on him. Yeah. The church. They want to exclude them from the Bible-believing church of Galatia. You see? They want to sink them. They want to take them out of the congregation of the righteous, those who are saved and follow the truth. They want to exclude them from the company of true believers at Galatia. Okay, so when he says they would exclude you, he's talking about separating them. How many of you know the devil is an isolator? He wants to separate you from the flock. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, they say, church, I can take it or leave it. No, you better take it, because the church is real important. Because the church, there's strength in numbers. And the Holy Spirit is in each of you, and you, and you, and you, and me. And together, we're a powerhouse. Amen? Yeah. By the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. We need to be together regularly. They want to exclude people from the church. Why? Fourthly, here's the reason why. They want you to drop out of the Bible-believing church in order for you to join their little group. They want you to join David Koresh. They want you to join Jim Jones. They want you to join Joel Osteen. Any of their cult leaders who reject the grace of God and don't preach the gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ, that's what they want to exclude you to. Their little faction. Okay? And this is absolutely critical that we understand aright. Notice their ultimate aim in verse 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. What? What's he saying? He's saying that ye might affect them. Did you hear that? He's saying that once they win you over, you will affect, that is, love and have affection for them. When they draw you under their wings, and they get you in those deep, they have control demons. That they want to dominate every area of your life. You can't eat pork, and you will worship on Saturday with the rest of us, and you will do this and that and the other, and you won't celebrate Christmas. Sound familiar? You won't celebrate Resurrection Sunday. You won't take blood if your kid needs blood. They want to control you with their control demons. And he says, if they're successful, you will affect them. You will become affectionate toward them and start, yeah, well, my pastor, quote unquote, says, watch out. Now, go to Romans chapter 10. Quickly, hold your place in Galatians. In Romans chapter 10, Paul speaks of this very thing. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, that saved people, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that's Judaizers, right? Is that they might be saved. Why, Paul? They're not saved? No, they're not saved. They're Judaizers. And he says they're not saved. As religious as they are, they're not born again. They're not going to heaven. Why? Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Did you know that you can knock 148,672 doors and still split hell like a bullet? That's right. JWs, they knock more doors than anybody. I'll tell you right now, they put us to shame. But not according to knowledge. They have a religious zeal. They want to zealously affect you, but not according to truth. They want to affect you according to their untruths and their false teachings. Thirdly tonight, Paul says in verse 18 that there is a good zealous affection. Look at verse 18 of chapter 4. There is a good zealous affection. And verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected, there's that terminology again, always in a good thing. And not only when I am present with you. I love this word affected, representing your affection, what you love. Because folks, this book is a dead book to those who read it intellectually. It will never help you as long as you read it with your intellect. You can know, and here's what I'm afraid, that a lot of the preachers in the pulpit and on the radio and on the TV today, they've got a head knowledge of this book, but it's not nowhere in sight down here in the heart where it has to be. They zealously affect you. It's good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. When Paul would come to town, everybody would put on their Sunday best. Oh, we got to look right. We got to act right. Paul's here. The great Jack Hiles is here. We got to get ready for church. Well, what about when Hiles isn't coming to town? What about when Ruckman's not coming to preach? What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know? See, we have to be zealously affected always, not just when so-and-so's around. Not just when we're at church. Okay, so the apostle says here that it is good for a person to be zealous, to have zeal in what is truth and right in God's eyes. He's saying it is good to go after people, soul winning, with the truth and to bring them into the light. This is what spirit-filled Bible preaching does. It affects people for the truth and brings them, Lord willing, to the light by the power of the Holy Spirit, not the preacher. Fourthly tonight, observe the tender affection that Paul had for the Galatian believers. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, here we see that Paul, I love Paul because he had such a tender affection for the people that he led to Jesus. These Galatian believers were loved by the apostle. And folks, that's why he told them the truth. Because he loved them. He said, these guys from Jerusalem are lying to you. What were they telling them? The Judaizers from Jerusalem. That you need to be circumcised physically, guys, and you need to keep the commandments of Moses. You can't eat pork. You got to keep the Mosaic law to be saved. And Paul said, no, you don't. The Mosaic law is abolished at the cross of Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, these Galatian believers were giving place to the Judaizers. And first, Paul labels them my little children. Why? Why would he call them that? What did Paul do? Led them. You know, when you lead someone to the Lord, that's your spiritual child. Now, what do you do when a child is born? Oh, just dump it in the gutter and let it fend for itself? No! Of course not! kind of like that one. You got to take care of that baby. You got to supple it. You got to feed it. You got to clothe it. Or the baby will die. And that's what's happening today a lot. People get saved, and nobody takes care of them. And guess who gets them? JWs, Mormons, Church of Scientology, all this garbage. Why? Because no Christian cared for them. See, we have to disciple them, get them into the Bible-believing church, and get them to grow spiritually. But Paul had such a tender affection. The indication here is that they had not yet grown and matured spiritually. They were still little children, though they had been saved for a few years now. They should have been growing from the fundamentals of the faith into strong meat of the word, even into prophecy. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to show you this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, Paul speaks of how he ministered to the people he won to the Lord here. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul says, we could have demanded the best room at the Hyatt Regency. We could have demanded a steak and potato dinner every night. We're apostles, man. We're high uppity-ups. No, that's not Paul. Paul slept in a tent. I mean, Paul, you know, Paul didn't want any luxury. Paul wasn't burdensome to the people he preached to. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her what?
Children.
You know what the nursing mother does? Takes that child in her breast and nurses that baby and feeds that baby and loves that baby, caresses that baby, and that baby grows strong, right? That's what Paul says. That's how we were spiritually with you. So, being affectionately, there's that word again, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. Paul says, I loved you guys so much in Thessalonica, I would have given you my own soul if I had to get you closer to Jesus. For ye remember, brethren, verse 9, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. He says, you are my witnesses, how we behaved ourselves amongst you. Amen? He says, you're like my little children, whom I love, and I want to mature spiritually. Glory to God. Fifthly tonight, we're almost done. Back to Galatians 4. Fifthly, notice, Paul says, I remember when you were first saved, how I went through the very pangs of birth in my soul. And now, I have those very same labor pains, standing in doubt of your conversion. Look in verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Now the indication here, beloved, is this. When you go to win somebody to Jesus, it might be painful. Hello. It might be painful. Amen. It might cost you riding them to church. It might, you might have to, I mean, they may call you at 2 o'clock in the morning, need prayer. Can you pray with me? You know, whatever it is, it could be painful, but it's worth winning them to Jesus Christ because they are an eternal soul. Paul says, I had like labor pains until you were born again. But folks, listen now. Paul says here, I remember when you were first saved, how I went through the very pangs of birth in my soul. And now I have those very same labor pains standing in doubt of your conversion, whether it were genuine. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Just a few pages back, you'll be there. 2-3 pages. In chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, look at verse 5. Paul says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is where?
In you.
In you, except you be reprobate. Paul says, I want to remind you something, Christian. Jesus Christ is in you because you're born of his spirit and he is in you. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I and my Father will come unto you if I send the Spirit, the Comforter. Do you realize that you have the whole Godhead in you? According to Jesus Christ, and words in red don't lie, he said, I and my Father will come to you and make our abode with you. He lives with me. He lives with you. I love it. Romans chapter 8. Go back, prior to Corinthians, to Romans chapter 8, verse number 10. He says, and if Christ be where? In you. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Drop down to verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To be what?
Conformed.
Formed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Paul's saying, I want Jesus Christ to be so formed in you, and you be so conformed to him, that when people see you, they'll think they're talking to Jesus. Yeah. They'll say, you've got so much Jesus in you, Sarah, I don't know. How did you get so much? That's what they'll say. That's what he's saying. Back to Galatians chapter 4. Look at it again. Verse 19. I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said, I want Jesus Christ to be formed in you, that you reflect his image to a lost and dying world. That's important. All right, finally tonight, observe, we're right on schedule. Observe Paul's desire to bring correction. Verse 20. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, listen carefully, beloved. False religion never can give assurance and comfort to the soul. Never. False religion will give you nothing but turmoil, pain, and confusion. Because it's false. Yeah. It's a lie. Yeah. But Paul is saying, because you are seemingly giving place to these false teachers, I'm standing in doubt of your salvation. And now I desire to come to you and to correct these heresies amongst you. And to confirm you in your standing in the free, unmerited grace of God. That's what every true preacher will do. Confirm you in the assurance of your salvation in the free grace of God. Undeserved. He's saying, why would any true believer turn away deliberately from the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ to the bondage of some false system? You know, folks, I scratch my head myself in my life and wonder, why in the world would Brother So-and-so start getting into this ultra-dispensationalism? You know, hyper-dispensationalism. None of the Bible's for you. You know, this is for that, and that's for that. None of it's for you and me. Well, I got news for those guys. All of it's for you. In one of three ways, all of it's for you and me. They get into these crazy doctrines that aren't true. And Paul says, why in the world? He's scratching his head. Did I not preach the truth to you? Did I not tell you the free grace of Jesus Christ, finished work on the cross, saves you plus nothing? So he says, why are you listening to these false teachers from Jerusalem? Tell them to get out of town. You don't want to hear it. You got something better. The truth. Amen? Go to chapter 5 and we'll finish up. Galatians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 7. Paul says, ye did run well. They were going good for Jesus Christ. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. It's from the pit of hell. A little leaven, and leaveneth the whole lump. Now watch verse 10. I love this. I'm going to finish with this verse. I have confidence in you, through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Amen. Paul says, you know what, boys and girls in Galatia? I have confidence in you, through the Lord. Through the Lord. He knew they were truly saved. So he said, I have confidence that you're going to kick them out of town and you're going to come back to the free grace of God and abide in it. and not allow false doctrine into the church. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for these verses. Thank you for the heart of the Apostle Paul. Lord, it's amazing as we read and study the life of Paul. But there is one greater to read and study about. And the Bible says that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. Oh Lord, thank you so much that we are returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And he is all we need. We don't need false teachers. We don't need false doctrine. We only need Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight for a closing hymn prior to our family prayer meeting. And open up to 130. How we love this hymn. Hymn 130. And somebody tell me, where is the power? Where is the power?
In the blood.
In the blood. Thank you, Sarah. It's in the blood. Hymn 130. You know, I was looking over those verses this afternoon as I was making preparation for tonight's message. And I said, a little bit dry down through here, Lord. But it was good. It's, you know, that's the word of God. Sometimes you think a few verses might be a little boring, and it turns out to be just the opposite. Night, guys, love you. It turns out to be just the opposite. There is power in the blood. Let's sing about that. First, second, and fourth. We'll stand. Would you be free from the burden of sin? Take this power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? The wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is. There is power, power, working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hey, would you be free from your passion and pride? Yes, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in his blood. Yes, there is. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb on the fourth. Would you do service for Jesus your King? Yes, there's power in his blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in his blood. Everybody now! There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Great singing tonight, folks, as we prepare for our